Bees are also disappearing. Since 2006, colony collapse disorder has drastically reduced honeybee populations across North America. In California, another emerging threat to hives could be straight from a B-grade horror film. A parasite that is turning honeybees into automatons, or as they're being called by some, zombies. John Hafrenick is a professor of biology at San Francisco State University and president of the California Academy of Sciences. He's director of the ZombieWatch.org, which is asking ordinary citizens to help identify where else the parasite is affecting bee populations. John, thanks so much for joining us.
Happy to be here, Virginia.
Well, tell us more about this parasite and what it exactly does to the honeybee.
Sure. This is a small fly. It's a fly that's smaller than a fruit fly. Most people wouldn't even notice it. And it's a native fly that normally feeds on bumblebees and yellow jackets, but it's figured out how to feed now on the introduced honeybee, which is one of our most important pollinators, of course. What happens is this small fly will land on the back of a honeybee, use a structure called an ovipositor, it's like a hypodermic needle, to inject eggs into the honeybee. And those eggs start hatching into little maggots on the inside. Not very pleasant. And as they start feeding, the honeybee's behavior changes. So instead of its normal behavior of going out and picking up pollen and nectar all day, they wake up in the middle of the night for some reason and leave their hives on what we're calling a flight of the living dead.
Oh.
Because basically, these are dead bees flying that are parasitized, are going to die and not come back. If they're in an area where there are a lot of lights, like most urban areas, they'll get attracted to those lights, a porch light or a street light or something like that. And then they'll fall under the light, sort of circle around in zombie-like fashion, which is one of the reasons they're called zombies, and then die in a short period of time. After about 5 days, the maggots inside of them will have finished up their life cycle. They'll push out through the membrane that's between the head and the rest of the body of the bee, and then push out, crawl off a few inches, and then form little brown pupae that look like brown pills or something like that. And these are like the chrysalis of a butterfly. Inside that pupa, the fly is developing. It will then emerge and start that cycle over again.
Wow. Where has this parasitic fly and the resulting zombies been found so far?
Well, it was first discovered right here on the San Francisco State campus in San Francisco. And we found that about 80% of the hives in the San Francisco Bay Area are infected at this time of the year with the fly. But most recently, as we started our citizen science website, zombiewatch.org, we've gotten citizen scientists around the country looking for bees acting strangely. And we've gotten new records now from Oregon and also from the Seattle, Washington area.
Wait, so you're deputizing people to become zombie watchers?
Yeah, or zombie hunters, we call them. Yeah.
All right, how do they do it? How does one hunt for a zombie?
Well, you can do it in two ways. One, you can look for bees that are found around lights in the morning or someplace like that, where you usually don't find honeybees, a porch light. If you live next to a neighbor who has a honeybee colony, then turn your porch light on at night and see if any honeybees come to it. Isolate them in a container. It could be a Ziploc bag, could be a Tupperware container. Watch them for 5 to 10 days and see if any of these parasites come up.
Mm-hmm.
And then upload photos to our website. Or if you're a beekeeper, and we'd really like beekeepers to be involved, you can make a simple light trap that you can put out near your hives, trap any honeybees that come out at night, and then isolate them and see if anything comes out.
And there are instructions for creating these light traps on zombiewatch.org. So,
that's correct.
John, what's the worst thing, what's the worst case scenario here, this connection between the parasite and bee populations?
Well, the worst case scenario is that this is an emerging disease, as you've mentioned, that pushes out and has a major effect on honeybee colonies, killing off a large number of individuals within a hive and causing that hive to collapse. We don't have information yet to support that view. And that what we're trying to find out is really how important a player it is, whether it's a major actor and maybe a contributor to colony collapse disorder, or whether it's just a minor player in a bee movie, as it were.
Well, so these little pupae that escape from the dead bee, what then happens? These potentially grow up into more parasitic flies, and they just keep attacking more and more bees?
That's right, and you can get up to 15 pupae out of a single honeybee. So there's a big multiplier effect in reproduction in these flies. They can expand rather rapidly in an area. And I should mention that the name of this fly is Apocephalus borealis.
Of course.
It's called borealis because it was described from New England.
Oh, no kidding.
The boreal zone. Yeah, it was first discovered in Maine back in 1924. Now, we don't have any records of the fly in New England parasitizing honeybees, but we'd really like people in New England to be part of our Zombie Watch program and to look for bees acting strangely in the New England area, because that would be a major discovery if a citizen scientist were able to find a parasitized honeybee in New England.
Okay, citizen scientists, it's your time to get you put dust off that star and put it on. But it is starting to get a little chilly here in New England. Can we still be helpful?
You can still be helpful, at least for the next few weeks. There are records that go into the latter part of September and could well be into October. I heard the weather forecast before I came on, and it sounds a lot like San Francisco
weather.
Yeah,
no kidding.
So I think there's still a possibility, but if not this season, then people should be thinking about it next summer again.
John Harfenick, I want to thank you for letting us know and conscripting us to the fight.
My pleasure.
John Harfenick, president of the California Academy of Sciences, and he's also director of Zombie Watch. Now, you can find out how to build your own light trap and help identify zombies by linking to Zombie Watch. There's a link at wordofmouthradio.org. And coming up, what went on in the real Downton Abbey? We'll hear about a Portsmouth woman who married an English aristocrat and lived a life that became part of the inspiration for the hit BBC drama. We'll do that, and Word of Mouth will continue with Pinky Up after a short break.